We're very thankful that you have joined us today for the Word for Life radio broadcast of the Brookside Baptist Church. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman, counseling pastor and senior citizens pastor, talking with you about how not to pray and learning how not to pray, which simply means we don't open our prayers with, Lord, I need this and Lord, I need that. But we begin our prayers by declaring God's goodness, our Father, which art in heaven, praise be your name or hallowed be your name. And then we surrender our will. Thy kingdom come, not my kingdom, but yours. Thy will be done on earth as it's done in heaven. Once we've done that, then last time we were talking about, thirdly, acknowledging our dependence upon God. Lord, I need daily bread. Lord, I need the ability to forgive others. And Lord, I need your protection when I'm facing temptation. You see, you can be tempted, but not enter into it. Erwin Lutzer said, temptation is not a sin. It's a call to battle. Temptation is not a sin. It's a call to battle. Being tempted and not entering into it is not a sin. But the Bible tells us that God will make a way to escape. And so when we recognize that God can break the snare, he can tread down Satan, he can make your soul more than a conqueror. Because 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there hath no temptation taken you. That means to be held in its cords, and you can't find a way to escape. That's what it means, no temptation that has taken you and bound you in its cords. Because the Bible says in 2 Peter 2 and verse 9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. So when sin knocks at your heart's door, tell it to go away. Don't open the door and talk to it. And so many times we don't follow that instruction. We just kind of want to invite it in and just talk to it. You know what temptation does when you do that? When you bring yourself to the point that you don't see temptation as something to be extremely frightened by? It speaks to the desires of your carnal heart. Temptation tells you it would be okay to do this. It would be okay to think this way. It would be okay because everybody... It speaks to the desires of your carnal heart. It reasons with your mind. It tells you that other people do it. It entices your affections. It tells you how much fun it would be. And then subtly and almost imperceptibly, it draws our soul to take particular notice of it. And when that happens, we enter into temptation. He says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And so many times when we listen to the voice of temptation, especially after we've been hurt, and we get angry over our personal hurts, and that leads to bitterness, the Bible says many will be defiled. Why? Because we listened to the voice of temptation. And that voice will tell you, I don't get mad, I just get even. I may forgive, but I'll never forget. All of these statements have been made by believers, and you know it and I know it. But we're never going to overcome temptation by thinking that way. Now, God's way to escape temptation is found in Matthew 26:41, where he says, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. Watch. To be on the lookout for temptation. That means throughout the course of the day, be alert. It's like being in a war zone. You are always alert. You are never relaxed. You are never just goofing off. You are always alert because you're in a war zone. And when you and I go out to battle every day, we need to watch, be on the lookout for temptation, and pray when you see its arrival. Pray when you see its arrival. See, if temptation is not feared, it will not be seen. If temptation is not feared, it'll not even be seen. Somebody said it this way, sin is most present when it seems most absent. Sin is most present when it seems most absent. 1 Corinthians 10:12, you think you're standing? Take heed, lest you fall. And so it's vitally important that we see temptation raise its ugly head. And that's my prayer every morning. Lord, help me to recognize temptation when it lifts its ugly head. John Owen, a great Puritan writer, spoke of temptation by saying this, the beginnings of temptation are almost imperceptible and so agreeable to me that if I were left to myself, I wouldn't even know that I was trapped until my bonds were made so strong and sin had gained ground in my heart. Therefore, I will rely on God alone for my preservation and continually look up to Him for it. That's why the Bible tells us, submit yourself to God. Then resist the devil, and he will flee from you. See, temptation can't be overcome in your own willpower. And that's why we say, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, because God is the one who does the delivering as we ask Him to do so. It's been said, let him who would spend little time in temptation spend much time in prayer. Let him who would spend little time in temptation spend much time in prayer. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You can't abide in prayer and abide in sin at the same time. One of them will have to go. And if you determine to abide in prayer, then sin will have to go. So you start with God in your prayer, then you end with yourself. But the key is in the middle. For thine is the kingdom. Whose kingdom? Whose will? And you recognize who it is you're talking to. And then once you realize who it is you're talking to, then whatever he says and whatever his will is and whatever would build his kingdom, that's what takes priority. And so the question that we have to answer is, have we surrendered our will to God? Now, let me tell you that it gets harder the older we get. The more secure we become in our positions, and the more stuff we have, and the more children we have, and the closer you get to marriage, and the closer you get to start tithing maybe, it gets harder to surrender your will to God. Because the old nature says, yeah, but you might have to give up that, and this might cost you this. Somebody put it this way, whatever you think you can withhold from God, it proves that you really don't know God. You really don't know God, because He can take it all away at any time. And that's why when we reach the point of surrendering our will and giving it all to God, then our prayer is affected for good. See, God's more concerned about His relationship with you and not about what you hold in your hand. So many times we're afraid that God's going to take away what we have. God says, my concern is my relationship with you, not what you have. But God wants whatever you hold in your hand if it's the key to having you. If He must take it away for your heart to be turned toward Him, then that's what He'll do. Does God have 8 out of 10 things that you hold to be valuable? He wants all of you, so you can experience all of Him. And that's what it means to surrender your will. So the most important thing in that prayer is, for thine is the kingdom. Thine is the kingdom. For you see, that's the exact way that the prayer is ended. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. He talked about His kingdom at the first part of the prayer. And now He's ending the prayer by telling us to remind ourselves, Lord, it's Your kingdom. And we are able to build the kingdom of God by building the church, by reaching people for Jesus Christ. And so whatever we say, whatever we do, ought to be for the cause of building the kingdom of Christ through building the church. And eventually, the church will be raptured, and then 7 years later, Christ is going to set up the kingdom. And all of those who have been reached for the gospel of Jesus Christ will be a part of ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ. And that's why we can close the end of our prayer with, thine is the kingdom and the power. Now that's hard for us to acknowledge to the Lord that He is the one with the power, because we so often get wrapped up in our own power, which often becomes manipulation. And we try to manipulate circumstances. We try to manipulate people. We try to manipulate situations and arrange things for our own good. But every day God wants us to remind ourselves it is His kingdom. It is His power. And if anything good takes place in my life or a result of my life, it's going to be His power. The smarter you are, the more difficult it is to make that statement. The more talented, the more personable, the greater personality, those that are especially good looking. Yeah, it's harder to say, "Thine is the power." And then the last part of the prayer, "and the glory." Because you see, God shares glory with no one, not even you, not even me. And when I come to the end of the prayer, I'm basically telling the Lord, everything that I've prayed about, Lord, is for Your glory, not mine. And when I'm finally able to pray that prayer and mean it from the bottom of my heart, then I have begun to learn how not to pray. And it could be that this morning you're struggling with that. Your prayer life has been, very quickly, jumping from "Dear Lord" to "I need this, and please do that, and please change this." And the Bible says, God knows what things you have need of before you ask Him. And so I trust that in our Bible study the last few times, you learned something very significant. That it's not the amount of time we spend on our needs, it's the amount of time we spend on our knees, recognizing His glory. You may want to just spend some time on your knees before you get involved in your daily activities. You may be on your way to work. You may be at work already. You may be sitting in your lounge chair with your cup of coffee. And God has spoken to your heart. And God is telling you right now, your prayer life needs to change. Because it's only as your prayer life changes that your Christian life can change. And the peace and the joy, regardless of whatever you're going through, will be yours. And it's also the foundation of God being able to bless our churches. A praying church is a church that God says He can bless. The disciples in the upper room waiting for the day of Pentecost prayed for 10 days, preached for 10 minutes on the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 people got saved. We want to pray for 10 minutes and preach for 10 days and wonder why no one gets saved. Our churches are powerless because our prayer lives are powerless. May God use these devotional thoughts in the last couple of days to bring you to the point of learning how not to pray and then learning how to pray. So until the next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.